This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hello, everybody. All right. So we have an incredible show for you. We have four brilliant contestants coming up soon to play some nerdy games with us. Right now, they are backstage experimenting with natural deodorant, just to remind themselves that none of them work. But soon they'll be up here, and one of them will be our big winner. And you've come to a pretty interesting show. We have two special guests. One is singer-songwriter Jill Sobule. Very excited to have her. I discovered Jill in the 1990s. Her hit Supermodel was featured in the movie Clueless. Yeah. And we have another special guest. We have an amazing stand-up comic, amazing comedian all around. Tom Arnold is going to be up here. Yeah. Tom Arnold right now has a show on Viceland called The Hunt for the Trump Tapes, where he tries to expose incriminating recordings of Donald Trump. Yeah, the guy is like a walking, talkie, controversy renaissance man, basically. Everything he touches turns to scandal, so I'm excited. He's going to juice up my profile by being on this stage. Because right now, if you Google me, I'll tell you what comes up. Books, bangs, and facts about Canada, all right? So help me, Tom. Help me make it better. Tom Arnold also became a father way later in life. Like me, I became a mother way later in life. Which it's a little bit different when you become a parent later in life as a woman, of course, because you are treated pretty interestingly by the medical community when you get pregnant at an advanced maternal age. I remember being told that I was both high risk and an inspiration. So that was fun. I'm impressed that I actually had my child biologically. But we're raising him adopted because I want him to feel chosen. I want him to feel chosen. This show somehow actually became like a 90s theme show. We didn't anticipate that until we brought it together. So I'm nostalgic for the 90s.
Yeah, are you?
I lived through the 90s. I like the 90s.
Yeah, I can't think of anything I really miss from the 90s.
Nothing?
I don't know. Grunge music?
Grunge.
No.
No? Plaid's back.
Plaid's back. Did plaid ever really go away?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
How embarrassing. I've been wearing it all the way through.
I know. I didn't know I was going to have to buy plaid for the third time in my life. I had no idea. All right, everybody. Let's meet some contestants and play some games. First up, we have a game about units of measurement. So get your units ready because we're going to measure them. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Laura Gratz. You're an administrator at a nonprofit art center, and you have a close group of friends that you've known since kindergarten, with a lifelong dream to move to Malta with them?
It's true.
And why would you move to Malta with all of your friends? What is it about Malta?
I've never been to Malta,
yeah.
But my friend who's here, her mother was in Malta filming a movie when we were kids, and I was thought it was the most glamorous place.
You were like enamored by
and
the idea.
I've always wanted to move there, and I want to have a place for all my friends, different houses, a compound. We'll all go retire there.
You're going to make a kibbutz of some
yes,
point.
Exactly,
okay,
a
very
kibbutz.
Good. All right, Laura, when you ring in, we're going to hear this. Your opponent is Brandon Beiser. You're a business intelligence analyst at Forbes. Wow. Okay, so here's my question. How much intelligent business is there happening out there?
So much.
A lot of intelligent business?
A lot of intelligent business.
Okay, give me one example of intelligent business.
We just ranked the Dallas Cowboys as the number one NFL franchise. which was a lot of, you get a lot of booze in New York for that.
Okay, yeah.
We also had Kylie Jenner on the cover of our magazine.
Sure, okay.
So that was another boo.
I can't tell if you're making your case here or not. When you ring in, we're going to hear this. Laura and Brandon, whoever has more points after two games will go on to the final round. This is a guessing game called Measured Response. So in this game, Jonathan and I are going to give you historical measurement facts. You are going to ring in and tell us if it's real or something we made up. But be careful, because if you guess incorrectly, your opponent automatically gets the point. So let's do it. According to Britannica, in the 16th century, a rod, which is 5.5 yards, was commonly understood to be, quote, the length of the left feet of 16 men lined up heel to toe as they emerged from church. True or false? Laura.
False.
Yeah, it seems crazy, right? No, that's true. Yeah, that's Whoa. True. It was called the Catholic centipede. No. No, it was not.
Oh, boy. When the metric system was introduced in the late 1700s, the length of 1 meter was defined as the distance from the North Pole to the equator divided by 10 million. Brandon.
True.
Yeah, that is true. You're right.
I don't know who measured that in the late 1700s, but that was one weird summer job. In ancient Egypt, 1 second was commonly understood to be the time it took for a cat to whip its tail back and forth. True or false? Laura?
False.
Yeah, that's false. Of course it is. It's the time between a cat looking at you and scratching your eyes out. That's a millisecond, actually. 1 carat, which is a measure jewelers still use today, was equal to the weight of 4 wheat grains or 3 barley corns. Brandon.
True.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Wish I knew that when my ex proposed to me with 42 barley corns. I was just like, that's weird. Now I know. That would have been many, many carats.
You still wear them on your finger
to this day? I do, yeah. I sleep on my barley corns. A cord is a measurement of a stack of dry firewood. It was originally defined as the size of 8 burly lumberjacks in a huddle. True or false? Laura.
That has to be false.
Yeah, that's false. You are correct.
This is your last clue. As of this recording, a kilogram is defined as the mass of one specific cylinder made of platinum iridium, kept at the International Bureau of Weights and Measures in France. True or false? Brandon.
True.
Yep, that is absolutely true.
But there's big kilogram news.
There is big kilogram news.
Yeah, it is expected that the official definition of a kilogram will change in November 2018. That's right. Right around the corner. Because according to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, instead of being based on a physical artifact, the kilogram will be expressed, quote, in terms of a quantum mechanical quantity known as the Planck constant.
Right. That's what I've been saying all along.
I know.
They finally got my letters.
Okay, that was a great game. Brandon, you are in the lead. Next, we have a game about podcasts, otherwise known as every television broadcaster's Plan B and every comedian's Plan A. Laura, are theme songs important?
Yes, definitely.
Why?
Well, I know what's coming up, and I love the theme song to this show.
That is written by the one and only Jonathan Colton, by the way.
True. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We have a special licensing agreement with him where every time it plays, he gets $0.
That's right. I have to send an invoice, though.
In this audio quiz, we're going to play you a podcast theme music. You are going to ring in and identify the podcast. And guess what? The points are double. Brandon, stay in the lead, and you're in the final round. Laura, you need to get more points, or you have to give Ask Me Another 5 stars on iTunes. Here we go. This show is hosted by former aides to Barack Obama. Brandon.
Speaker of the House?
You're in the right zone, but that is not the name of the podcast. Laura, can you steal?
Pod Save America?
Yeah, that's correct. I thought this podcast was going to be about breakfast, not murder. Brandon.
Martinis and murder?
No, that is not what we're looking for. Laura, can you steal?
Cereal.
That is from Cereal. That's right. This podcast is hosted by Kid Fury and Crystal, who, according to the description, are trying to adjust to life and rats in the big city. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Yeah. Okay, Hamba, I'll give you a hint. The title sounds like what you do with a book. Brandon.
Crack it open.
I would also listen to that podcast.
Good podcast, man.
Crack it open. I don't know what it's about.
We're going to crack it open today. crack it open.
Yeah, exactly. Good title. You are coming up with podcast pitches. Do you understand that? Laura, can you steal?
I'm sorry. Open it up.
Also a great idea. It's called The Read.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I know. All right, this is your last clue. If you were feeling maybe just too good in the morning, why not bring down your mood with this news podcast from the New York Times? That was quick, Brandon.
The Daily.
That is correct, yes. We actually have a tie. So
wow.
Here we go with your tiebreaker question. I'm going to ask you for a year. You're going to ring in, and whoever is closest moves on to our final round. So here we go. What year was the first generation iPod released? Brandon.
2001.
Yeah, that's correct. Well done. After two games, Brandon is going on to our final round. We'll find out who will face off against Brandon in our final round, and I'll talk to comedian Tom Arnold. This is the first time Tom's been on NPR in 16 years, and soon we'll find out why. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit their website to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. Then, just choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our first special guest. He starred with Arnold Schwarzenegger in True Lies and hosted the best damn sports show, period. His latest project is The Hunt for the Trump Tapes. Please welcome Tom Arnold. Welcome to Ask Me Another.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me.
I know that you're traveling right now doing stand-up.
Yeah, feeling it out, you know.
Yeah, and you started stand-up while you were at University of Iowa.
I did. I mean, my whole dream growing up was to get out of Ottumwa, not work at the... My grandpa worked at the meatpack plant for 50 years.
Okay.
You know, my dad worked there. And in 3 years, I worked there for 3 years to save money to go to the University of Iowa. And if you work at a meatpacking plant, especially on the kill floor, two things are for sure. One, you will get very drunk every night. And two, you'll have crazy dreams like your best friends with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then you wake up and it's 4:45 a.m. and you realize, oh my God, I live in Ottumwa, Iowa. I work at the Hormel Meatpacking Plant. I would never even meet Arnold Schwarzenegger. Cut to 10 years later, your best friend is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Your best friend is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, but I, you know, I saved money to go to the University of Iowa because I knew they had a like a student union with the stage.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, if I get on that stage, I could become a comic and then everybody will love me.
That's how it always starts.
And but no, I love it. I've been doing it since 1982 or 81, you know.
So your first comedy routine is a prop comedy routine.
It's an animal. Live
it's an animal. Tom Arnold and the Fabulous
Goldfish
Review.
Yes.
And what did you do in this review?
There was a comedian named Joel Hodgson. He created this thing called Mystery Science 2000 or 3000.
Yes!
And he came to Iowa City, and he was a great comic, and he performed, and I opened up for him. And he said, Tom, you need to be different than other comics. You need to have a hook. And I was in my house there in on Gilbert, Iowa City, and I thought, I got to be different. I looked around my room, and there's a fish tank, and a goldfish tank. I said, I'm going to be the goldfish comic. And so I started using goldfish and did tricks and stunts. This is for real.
Yeah.
And one was a sword swallower, and one did an impression of the Pope. One rode a motorcycle through a ring of fire. And for real. As the act went on, I realized people actually care about goldfish. Like, you know, they're starting to get angry because bad things are happening to them. But after working at a meatpacking plant, you think, wow.
You were like goldfish.
It was the goldfish. 80s too. He did tricks and stunts, and it was a fun act, you know. But that's why I did it first. I realized, I got to be myself. Plus, I was exactly like Joel Hodgson. I talked like him. And then when I moved to Minneapolis, you know, to start my career, he actually came and saw me. Go, oh yeah, you're exactly like me. I go, I know. He goes, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, right, you can't be like that at all.
I didn't know.
Now, you start as a warm-up comic for the pilot episode of Roseanne in 1988.
Yeah, well, actually, first, she came to, in 1983, she came to Minneapolis to perform. She was a comic out of Denver, and she wasn't famous yet, but she was so funny.
Yeah.
And I opened up for her. You know, she was killer funny, and she said I was funny, which, by the way, if you want a guy to like you, we already know we're good looking, but you tell us we're funny and we're forever. That's all.
Right.
And I said, do you want to go party? And then like 3 days later, we let the MC have her car back. And it was like, but then, you know, she said, do you want to write some jokes for me?
Sure.
I'm going to start going on TV. And I did. In 1985, she went on Johnny Carson and used some of the jokes I did, but she killed. Like So it was so funny. I remember being back in Minneapolis like, that's my friend. Look how amazing she is. And then she said, I'm going to have a sitcom. Will you write on it? And I said, absolutely, because I'd been writing her material for her.
Sure.
And I knew her character. I came out in 1988 to write it. And I also was the audience warm-up on the pilot. I was the worst audience warm-up. Well, audience warm-up is a hard job.
Super hard.
Yeah, I was terrible. And so basically I worked my way up from audience. I was so bad at each job, I just eventually became executive producer.
Exactly, right. Yeah. And you were also the character of Artie on the show.
And then lost it all one day. It was good.
So I'm just trying to think. So 92, you know, the show is doing amazing. It gets a Peabody. In 1994, 2 years later, you star in True Lies.
Well, thank God, because I got fired. Right? Here's the thing. April 1994, Roseanne files for divorce, and I lost my job the same day. I know it's a weird coincidence. And I remember, and people unanimously were like, he has no talent. He wrote a coattails. He'll be back in Iowa in 2 weeks. And I'm like, you know what? They're probably right. But you know what? I got the best stories ever for my grandkids because I got to work for 6 years on one of the best shows of television ever. I had the best experiences. I got to produce, write, act with the best actors for real.
Yeah.
And Jim Cameron and Arnold Schwarzenegger are like, F those people. True Lies is coming out in 2 months. Man, you're going to prove out. I'm like, oh, God, I wish I could believe that. But honest to God, thank God I had done that movie because it literally turned people in their tracks because I had done that film while we're filming my last year of Roseanne.
Yeah.
And it's one of those rare times where you just do something and it's that good.
It's such a great movie. And purportedly James Cameron, who never lets anyone improv a line,
right,
let you ad-lib
right
most of it?
First of all, I had no idea how how lucky I was to get that movie. And I had no idea that Jim Cameron went to bat for me with the studio. It was the most expensive movie ever made. And he had to go tell Fox Studios, hey, great news, we can start the movie, because I found the guy. And they're like, that's great news, Jim. Who is it? Tom Arnold. Oh, no, that is, no, that's horrible news. And he had to say, okay, well, I'm taking the movie to Paramount. And I didn't know that. And when they screened the movie the first time, and they came, Arnold Schwarzenegger, yay, Jamie Lee Curtis, yay, Tom Arnold, people booed. Like, booed. But by the end of the two-hour movie, they scored it. I was the favorite person in a two-hour movie. Because of James Cameron, because of Arnold Schwarzenegger allowing it, it changed people's perspective of me. And a piece of art like that, or being good, thank God I was good this one time. You know, and that's what something like that could do with genius filmmaker. So, boy, how lucky am I,
right? That's a great story.
So I assume every movie's going to be like that.
Of course.
I've done 100 since, and it turns out none of them are like that.
That's special.
But I've been.
So now you are doing the show on Viceland called The Hunt for the Trump Tapes.
I am.
Is that, now, did Viceland come to you, or is this your idea?
Oh, well, they apparently saw my Twitter feed, which I don't recommend unless you're... But, you know, I'm living my life. You know, I'm a 59-year-old guy with a 5.5-year-old son and a 2.5-year-old daughter. And, you know, I'm not going to live forever. There's only so many times I can stand up for them and do something. And it turns out I know the guy that's the president. I've been 30 years. I'm able to go, what the hell? In this moment, I feel I could do something for my kids. That's what I've been doing. And Viceland is like, oh, we see your Twitter feed. Hey, would you like to do a show? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love it. Hey, I'd love to have some cameras on this journey for a little while.
You know, on your show, because you know everybody in showbiz, you have a lot of interesting people on the show with you talking.
I mean,
a huge range. Judd Apatow's on it.
Yeah.
Maria Bamford is on it.
Oh, my gosh, she's amazing.
Dore McKesson, who we had on the show
recently.
Oh, yeah,
he's amazing, right?
So
he's got that one vest, too.
He's got the blue puffer vest.
He wears that vest a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
I love those guys. And you know, Maria Bradford, I have mental illness in common. I love her.
Yeah, she's
fantastic. And how much crap has she put up with? I mean, how many death threats? By the way, that's the thing. Ignore death threats from these guys. Ignore the threats of lawsuits. Ignore the threats of destroying your credibility. I have, honest to God, I have zero credibility. That's what they do. They try to destroy that. If you have none, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm telling you. I'm not even kidding at all. I'm like, oh, yeah, that is that.
Tom, how would you like an Ask Me Another challenge?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Tom Arnold, before the show, we asked you, what would you like to play a game about? And you said that you're obsessed with sports comeback stories.
Because if I had no hobbies, yes, if I had hobbies. Be...
So your game is called Everyone Loves a Comeback. And if you do well enough, listener Laura Langan from Minneapolis, Minnesota, is going to win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube. Okay, the biggest comeback in pro football happened in 1993. It was a playoff game known as the comeback. Who were the teams?
Was it Houston and was it Buffalo?
Yes, no. That's okay. Right. Buffalo Bills and Houston Oilers.
Houston Buffalo, yeah.
That's right.
That was crazy.
You can just guess this if you don't know. How many points were the Buffalo Bills losing by before they turned it around to win in overtime?
Was it 35? I don't know, I'm sorry.
Oh my God, 32.
32.
Yeah,
oh,
that was
God.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Well done.
Well,
okay, the biggest comeback in hockey, Stanley Cup playoffs, happened in 1982, known as the Miracle on Manchester. Do you know?
Well, that's got to be the Kings.
Yeah, and?
Nope. Well, oh, geez Louise. Okay.
It was the Canadian team where Gretzky came from.
Okay, Edmonton. It has to be Edmonton. And the Oilers. And what was the...
Yeah, that's right. Edmonton
Oilers.
And the Los Angeles Kings. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Okay, thank you.
Okay, how many points were the Kings losing by in the third period before they turned it around to win in overtime?
I'm going to say the crazy 7. That's insane.
Very close. 5.
Okay, well, 5's, yeah, that's insane. I'm just guessing because of a...
Yeah, they were losing 0-5 at the beginning of the third period. The final score was 6-5.
I know, that's amazing.
Okay, I got a couple more for you. During the 2004 baseball postseason, a team came back from a 3-game...
Boston Red Sox!
That's right. You were so excited, you actually leapt from your stool.
Okay.
That was the biggest comeback in...
In the world. It was impossible they did that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Here's your final question. Who stars in the HBO series The Comeback?
Oh, my God. Lisa Kudrow, who I love, who played my wife in Happy Endings. I love her.
So that's right.
How great is that show?
That's so funny.
It's a fact.
That's awesome.
All right.
Okay, congratulations, Tom. You and Laura Langan won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cubes. You did it for Laura.
That's amazing.
The Hunt for the Trump Tapes with Tom Arnold airs on Viceland.
It does. You can it's watch. Really hard to find, apparently.
You can watch. It's all hard to find. Give it up for Tom Arnold,
thank you,
everybody.
Guys.
Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you dreaded trying to get the blue geography wedge in Trivial Pursuit, congratulations, you're probably the oldest person here. Also, we've got a game about world capitals coming up, but first, let's meet our contestants. First up, Sam Grossman, you're a freelance writer, and your most viewed article is about wine for cats.
Yes,
I have to hear about this immediately. There is wine for cats?
There is. So a couple years ago, I was covering weird internet trends for Time magazine. So we found out that they had made non-alcoholic wine for cats out of catnip and Cabernet grapes. I loved that. So my editor and I decided we had to cover that, and we came up with a headline that a lot of other people stole. So if you see that headline anywhere else, know that it was originally mine. It was Never Drink Alone Again, because now there's wine for cats.
Okay, very good. When you ring in, we're going to hear this. Your opponent is David Grazian. You're a sociology professor and author who, quote, gets to live out fantasy jobs and write about them. Okay, so what fantasy job have you recently been able to live out?
All right, so I spent 4 years as a volunteer zookeeper. To write a book about zoos, so I got to play with lots of animals and get bitten by only some of them.
I'm a little about zoos. Do we feel like that they are good places of great conservation and I should relook at it?
You know what? I got to know a lot of zookeepers.
Yeah.
And the zookeepers are really, really terrific. They don't get paid very much money, but they dedicate their lives to working with these animals and they really, really care for them.
Yeah.
So it made me feel a little differently about zoos.
Interesting. Okay, so David, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Remember, Sam and David, whoever has more points after two games will go to our final round. Let's go to your first game. So we've combined geography and wordplay into a game called Word Capitals. Welcome to your nightmare. In this game, every answer is a country and a word that contains the consecutive letters of that country's capital.
For example, if I said, don't get stung when you view a collection of beehives in this island nation east of Fiji, you would answer, apiary, Samoa.
Great.
Okay, nobody understands why. Because an apiary is a collection of beehives, and it contains Apia, Samoa's capital. The pronunciation may or may not be the same as the city, but the spelling is, they will all be this hard or harder.
Remember, we want the country and the word containing the capital city. Here's my advice. Ring in. Talk it out. We're here for you. At some point, this will end. Here we go. Take pretentious black and white photographs of the Colosseum, the Venetian canals, and one of your friends pretending to hold up the Leaning Tower. Anything come to you about the country?
Yes.
Okay, you have the country in your mind. And the next, we're looking for a word for black and white that contains the capital of that country. Sam.
Monochromatic Italy? Monochrome Italy.
Yes, that is it. I'm going to be so excited every single time.
Hiking the Alps? Be sure to pack your army knife and a bottle of dry red wine. Sam.
Cabernet, Switzerland.
Yes. Wow. Bern, Switzerland being the capital. Well done.
We never thought anyone would get that.
Yeah. Those are the only two questions we
That's
had.
It.
We have to. Thought it was going to take longer.
Be sure to use bug spray to ward off these blood-sucking insects as you explore the Amazon jungle and the Galapagos. Sam.
Mosquito, Ecuador.
Yes. The capital of Ecuador is Quito. And did you know that only female mosquitoes bite?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the male mosquitoes mostly just check up on their fantasy teams. And it's true. It's true.
I'm taking time away from this Northern Ohio liberal arts college to spend a semester abroad near the Brandenburg Gate. Sam.
Oberlin, Germany.
That's right. Oberlin, Germany.
David, how you doing?
Yeah.
You all right? We've got lots more games.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. Here we go. Prepare for your story's dramatic tension to reach its literary apex at Machu Picchu. Sam.
It's Lima Climax, Peru.
Yes, it is.
Sam, I literally don't know how you're doing this. Fold a square piece of paper into a swan in this Baltic state bordered by Estonia, Lithuania, Russia, and Belarus. David.
Origami, Latvia.
Yes. Jeez.
Here we go, smarties. It's what a county is called in Louisiana, and it's a religious thing, which you can appropriately ponder at Notre Dame Cathedral. David.
Parish, France.
That is correct. That was an amazing game. I just applaud both of you for being part of that. All right, great game. Sam is in the lead. Speaking of words and words, if you love the test in Contestant, you should take a quiz and be on our show. Go to amatickets.org. Coming up, Jill Sobule is here. Jill is forever enshrined on one of the greatest 90s albums of all time, the Clueless soundtrack. Her latest album, Nostalgia Kills, probably indicates that she doesn't want us to mention the Clueless soundtrack. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, an automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares Betterment's philosophy on investing.
No matter the amount of money you have, it's always good to be invested. It's always good to start early. It's always good to save. And the power of being consistent in your habits is really the path to long-term wealth.
Get started at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, we met our contestants, Sam and David. They're waiting backstage to play their second game. But first, it's time to welcome our next special guest. You know her from the 90s hits I Kissed a Girl and Supermodel. Please welcome musician Jill Sobule.
Hello.
Hi, Jill. Thank you so much for coming to our show.
I'm so excited you asked me.
Yeah, it's great. So you have a new album, Nostalgia Kills, but we're going to get to that in a minute. But I was interested to find out that, you know, you've been playing for a long time, but you got a drum kit when you were 5 years old.
Yeah, that was my first instrument. I was in love with Ringo Starr. And then somehow my parents convinced me that the guitar was a much nicer instrument.
Now, was it gifted to you as a five-year-old? You know, one of those things where someone's like, ha, 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 we're going to give your kid a drum kit.
No, I was obsessed. I just wanted to be a drummer.
Really?
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, we're going to get you a little kid drum kit.
And then they decided, no.
No. And so at what point did you start playing guitar?
So right afterwards. So I my first guitar, I had an electric guitar, and I had a big amp, and I was like about 2 feet high.
Really?
Yeah. I was a shredder.
Right from the beginning. And then when did it turn into, this is my profession, this is what I'm doing for my love and my career forever?
Oh, not till I dropped out my third year of college.
Okay, so you go to college.
I thought, like, who makes a living doing music?
Yeah, right.
No, so you know what happened? On my third year, I went to Spain, and my friends and I decided, let's go busk on the streets. And I had all these songs that I'd written, but they were my personal journals, and it was the first time I ever sang. And it was the first day we sang on the street, and some guy walked by, and he said, would you like to play my nightclub? And if we thought, like, young American girls, and it ended up being legitimate. And I wonder if that guy hadn't walked by.
What would have happened?
What would I be doing?
And how was that gig in Spain?
It was fantastic.
Wow. So yeah. Then that was it. You were inspired to, you're like, this is it.
This was it.
Okay. So you have engaged your fan base to help you fund your projects. You did this with Nostalgia Kills. You also did the same thing with California Years, originally when you put it out, called JillsNextRecord.com.
Yes, it was before Kickstarter.
Right.
In fact, I was one of the first to do a kind of tiered level. I had polished rock to weapons-grade plutonium. And in fact, the guys from Kickstarter, before they started, they had meetings like, how did you do it? And I'm like, what an idiot. Why didn't I think of making it as a business? But it was fantastic.
So did you do it on just a web page, or how did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I had a friend. We just did it because I knew I wasn't going to get a record deal, a big one. And I have small but mighty fan base. And I had no idea
what would happen. And so the response was great. You're like, I'm actually doing an album here. People have paid for it.
Yeah.
And then, so what year was that? 2009?
2008.
2008. Yeah. It's clearly different than doing it now. How has it changed between doing it then and now with your current project?
It took me forever to do it because back, I was so scared that I wouldn't do as well because back then there was, now you're inundated by people saying, help them with their everything.
Yeah.
So there was nothing else like that. CNN and other news sources were interested, like, what is this? So I got a lot of publicity for
sure.
It.
Sure.
And you know what? I stopped at a certain level because Perez Hilton,
yeah,
he put up this really mean, ugly picture of me with dollar signs saying, greedy, 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 awful Jill Sobule, asking her fans. And so I quit it. And then 6 months later, everyone starts doing it. And,
right. What a different time for a definition of greed.
Time. Yes. Yes, oh my God.
Yeah, right. So now you're doing it, for your last album. In the beginning, you don't have the whole infrastructure. Now it's very clear that you have to offer your fans something kind of authentic and cool as a reward for funding.
Right. Yeah. So I did try to do it this time, like last time.
Yeah.
So I had some pretty interesting ones.
So what did you offer people?
Well, as a joke, I had my highest level was, I will put on the record and you will be forever my personal Lord and Savior. And Joss Whedon is my personal Lord and Savior.
No.
Yeah, really. Oh, and then I do theme songs. And I Tom Bergeron has a theme song.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm just, anyone want a theme song? Yeah.
I want a theme
song. You're going to get one.
I'll give you whatever the dollar amount is for that level.
No, you're free.
Oh, whoa. All right. So in the mid-90s, that's when I discovered you, because you have these two big hit songs, Supermodel, that was featured on the Clueless soundtrack, I Kissed a Girl, as you pointed out, the original one. You obviously, you're playing live a lot of your life. How often are you playing these songs?
You know what? There was a while.
Yeah.
That with Kissed a Girl. It was like, you know what? Because, I was just the kiss to girl. And I love on one hand, it was so great because that still to this day, I get people who are saying, that song meant a lot to me growing up in Alabama. And I wanted a song like that when I wish there would have been when I was a kid. And I think on the other hand, the label they wanted to take away the queerness of it and they made it a real novel. It's a goofy little novelty song. And in fact, when we did the video, do you remember the video with Fabio in it? We were actually in the video, we were planning on having, it was going to be the first time a same-sex kiss was going to be on, and at the last minute, they nixed it, and they made me look like I had Fabio's baby.
Right.
But then I, you know, I'm taking it back, and I remember that when Katy Perry, it was like, now she's the kiss the girl girl, and I was like, hey, buddy, I'm the kiss the girl
right.
girl after all that time. So I'm proud of it so
yeah.
much,
and
I'll play it anytime anyone wants to
anytime. It's good to know.
Yeah.
In your new album, Nostalgic Kills, you've said this is your best work. Tell us about this party conversation you overheard that inspired it initially.
Yeah, I was at some party, and I overheard this conversation, and I just walked by, and he goes, yeah, yeah, I'm a music publisher, and I just tell you, I've known that, you know, people over 40, they can't write songs anymore that are relevant or good.
Yeah.
And I remember just walking up to these three people, and I was just, and I go, sir, you're an idiot. and I just walked off, and I have no idea who he was, but he's been my nemesis, and it's worked for me, and it made me write this record.
That's great. Jill, are you ready to help us with an Ask Me Another challenge?
I would.
All right. Jill Sobule, everybody. Let's bring back our contestants, Sam and David, and our house musician, Jonathan Colton. So Jill Sobule is going to help us with the latest in our music parody series, where we take things too literally. We rewrote songs by artists that are known by one-word names to be about the literal definition of their one-word name.
For example, if we sing Hotline Bling, but with lyrics about a male duck, you would answer Drake.
And great news, this game is worth double points. Sam, stay in the lead, and you're in the final round. David, you need to get more points, or from now on, you'll have to go through life with just one name, Disappointment.
Oh,
jeez.
It's the meanest thing we've ever written.
Well, that's pretty heavy.
All right, ring in to answer. Here we go.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
First you take some crimson, then you add a little white. Then you mix them both together for this. A shade that isn't just for girls.
Sam.
Pink.
Pink, that's right. It's Just Give Me a Reason by Pink.
Baby, I compare you to a sea lion, both pinnipeds. You have smaller flippers and no visible ear flaps. And you're more quiet and shy. Crawl on your belly on land.
David.
Seal.
Seal, that's right. Kiss from a Rose.
No visible ear flaps just screws me up.
How you one of the ways you tell a seal from a sea lion.
Yeah. Don't like it. Don't like thinking about that.
Yeah.
A lot of hair.
Dude is hairy and it's all disheveled. Man, he's really quite unkempt.
A lot of hair.
Picture this, try to comb it. Got stuck, didn't make the next attempt.
A lot of hair.
Sam.
That would be Shaggy.
It would be Shaggy, that's right. Jill's doing a lot of excellent acting over here.
That was great.
I'm loving it.
I'm going to say superior version.
Here's your next one.
I'm in the treetop watching my blue eggs. Oh, oh, I'm up with the dawn singing the first song. Oh, oh, you don't know your birds, but you recognize me even so. My red breast is how you'll know.
Sam.
Robin.
Robin, Dancing on My Own, that's right.
I'm a precious stone, like the heart of the ocean now. I'm a precious stone, faceted or polished and smooth, boy. I'm a precious stone, and I'm stuck in a crown.
Sam.
Jewel.
Jewel, that's right. Okay, good. This one is really high. Here we go.
If you ever get too close to me, this will cause you pain, 'cause I'm a bee.
David.
Sting.
Sting, that's right. All right, this is your last clue.
And I own all this land now.
Feudalism suits me.
I swore allegiance to the king. That means I own everything.
I will rule this manor. I will call you Serf 3.
And if you won't serve,
won't serve, then get off my property.
David.
Lord.
Lord is correct. That's royals. Ophira, how did our contestants do?
What a great game. Sam, congratulations. You are moving on to our final round. And thank you to Jill Sobule. Her latest album is called Nostalgia Kills. Give it up for Jill Sobule. It's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalists, Brandon Beiser, who won over the audience with his mentions of the Dallas Cowboys, and Kylie Jenner, and Sam Grossman, who knows all about Japanese cat wine. Brandon and Sam, your final round is called Month to Month. In this final round, every answer contains the name of one of the 12 months of the year, and there will be repeats. Our big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Tom Arnold and Jill Sobule, so the weirdest thing anyone has ever owned. We rolled a 20-sided die backstage, and Brandon is going first. Here we go. Brandon, she played Betty Draper on Mad Men and Emma Frost in X-Men.
January Jones.
That is correct. Sam, this playwright's Pittsburgh cycle includes Fences, The Piano Lesson, and Jitney.
August Wilson?
Yes. Brandon, this celebration, also known as Freedom Day, recognizes the end of slavery and the emancipation of enslaved people in the United States. 3 seconds.
March.
I'm sorry. We were looking for Juneteenth. Sam, he's the Mad Hatter's rabbit tea party companion in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
I don't know.
We're looking for the March Hare.
Sure.
Brandon, this is a distress signal and the name of the resistance group in The Handmaid's Tale.
Well, I don't watch The Handmaid's Tale. It's not going to help here. Is this July?
Interesting distress signal. The answer is May Day.
Oh.
Sam, she wrote the book Little Women.
Louisa May Alcott.
That is correct. Brandon, in the 1994 movie adaptation of Little Women, Winona Ryder plays this protagonist.
June.
We were looking for Joe March. Sam, Aubrey Plaza played this Parks and Recreation character whose alter ego is Janet Snakehole.
April Ludgate.
That is correct. We're at the halfway point. Sam is in the lead, 3-1. Brandon, she became Prime Minister of the UK following David Cameron's resignation.
Theresa May.
That is correct. Sam, it's the rock band with the number one album, The King Is Dead.
I don't know.
We're looking for The Decemberists. Brandon, in Walk the Line, Reese Witherspoon played this singer-songwriter.
Not Johnny Cash.
3 seconds.
Winona Ryder's a bread.
Okay. June Carter Cash is what we were looking for. Sam, it's the world's largest beer festival, most notably celebrated every year in Munich.
Oktoberfest.
That is correct. Here's the situation. Sam is in the lead 4-2. Brandon, you must get this question right to stay in the game. A famous British folk verse about Guy Fawkes asked the reader to, quote, remember, the 5th of this month.
Remember, 5th of November?
Yes, indeed. Sam, if you get this right, you win. A famous Earth, Wind, and Fire song asks if you remember the 21st night of this month.
September.
That is correct. Congratulations, Sam. You're our big winner. And that's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Madeline Kaplan and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Emily Winter. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. Ask Me Another is produced by Sylvie Douglas, Mike Katzeff, Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Ramel Wood, and our intern Alexis Stromer, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Rick Kwan, and David Hurtgen. We'd like to thank our home in Brooklyn, New York, the Bell House,
Hot Heel Blues,
our live event sponsor, American Mensa, and our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias,
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, happy to hear you're still listening. And since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We love to hear from you, and it helps others find out about our show. For additional information about new episodes, upcoming live shows, roadshows, and bonus games, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks! Next time on Ask Me Another, actor Diane Guerrero talks about her writing process and immigration activism.
I thought maybe my voice could be an asset. I know what this feels like. I know what family separation is, so I decided, okay, I'll write something and see if it moves the needle in any way.
So join me, Ophira Eisenberg, for NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Lisa in collaboration with West Elm. Discover the new natural hybrid mattress, expertly crafted from natural latex and certified safe foams, designed with your health and the planet in mind. Visit leesa.com to learn more.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.